Could, let's turn over to 199. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What so faithful, who with all our sorrows share. For Jesus knows our every weakness, so take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Oh, precious Savior, still our refuge, if we'll take it to despise, forsake thee, just take it to the Lord in prayer. For in his arms he'll take and shield thee, and thou will find a solace. Are we weak and heavy? Let's look at 204. Just across the page. What a day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Will there be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. Will there be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Amen. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Amen. Let's look across the page there at number 205, near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream. shall find rest beyond the river, near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the
across the river.
Yes.
On this side, a lot of trouble and heartaches, but we cross over there and we'd be all right. Amen. Glad to have our visitor with us. And we always say when you come here, one time you're a visitor, you come two times you're part of us, because we don't have anything to join or anything like that. We're just part of the body of Christ. So we say to you, welcome, and just, you know, try to fellowship with us around what the word of the Lord. Remember now, by way of announcements, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock. We're still in the book of Romans, so come and be with us. We're having a good time of doing that. Remember also the Valentine banquet is, what, the 14th? Is that right? And we're, you know, the sign-up sheet is downstairs, so make sure you sign up where we can get everything fixed for the, you know, the food and things that we have to do. And this is for the couples only, because we're trying to give the sisters a night out to where they can fellowship with all of us, and that way we can, too, fellowship together and have a good time doing it. So you remember that. So just pray that the Lord would bless all of us in that way. All right. And when Brother Luis is going to be speaking for us Wednesday, to try to give us an update of the his trip and all down to Nicaragua and all, and his interpreting and the fun he had while he was there. So that would be good. So he'll be, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. I think that's all of the announcements. Anything else that we... Brother Tommy Duty, we call him. He's in the hospital. Did he say what was wrong with him? Or what?
He has pneumonia.
Pneumonia. Mm. All right. So let's just make sure we pray for him, that the Lord would touch him, and it'd be all right. All right. Anything else? Mm. So let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Wade comes to minister. I hope you're enjoying the series. I am. And but, you know, what was that fella said? Contrary to popular opinion, you know, he's saying some things I hadn't thought of. You know, so that's, I'm enjoying it, you know. So that would help us, you know. I believe it, right? So let's just pray and ask the Lord to open our eyes to the understanding of God's word, right? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you?
Yes,
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Is that your desire?
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
Yes,
I want to see you. And how do you want to see him?
To see you.
Sing, holy, holy,
this morning. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See him this morning? Amen. That word see means what? Understand. All right, we can all see. We all got good vision, but we need to have some spiritual vision, some spiritual insight. Amen. And that way, I'd rather see that way than to be able to see 10-10 vision in the natural, because you'd see things you didn't want to see. Amen. But in the Lord, there's not anything that you don't want to see of him. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have our visitor with us today, Brother David. Right, David? Yes, sir. All right, good to have you with us today. And just pray that say something that'll help you. Any of us and all of us. But by way of announcements, I hope we spend less time doing this, because downstairs is the announcement board, and it runs the whole time you're here. So if you're ever sitting or standing or down in the fellowship hall, it's going to be continually looping, telling us all the way till June, so we don't have to, and I don't say waste time, but it is kind of, when we have a lot of announcements, it wastes a little bit of time to make these announcements where you can look out down on the board and see it. But remember, next Sunday I'll be at Brother Joe Green's, so I'll give you a break. Hopefully we'll get to Brotherly Kindness this afternoon, and that'll be that little break. And I hope Brother Dale will let me continue on, maybe even till I go to the Philippines. But remember me also, 25 days from today, I'll be flying out, going to the Philippines for 3 weeks. So keep me in your prayers. It's not going to be a short visit. It's going to be for a pretty good length of time. So just remember us in your prayers. And also, I know we have sick ones among us, but we got a crowd today. We don't... couldn't fit hardly any more in, so we thank the Lord for that God's let us be able to be a part of this. Amen. To be able to be a part of the economy of God, to be a part, actually not just be a part of the economy of God, but be the economy of God. Exactly. All right, so let's turn to 2 Peter 1, and we're going to continue our study today on the stature of a perfect man. Lord willing, we're going to get to godliness and brotherly kindness. I hope you enjoyed last Sunday. I enjoyed last Sunday too. It's bringing out a lot more to me. You know, like I said, Brother Bob, we've been doing this downstairs, and he said, man, you've been holding back. I said, no, it's just God unfolding more as you go along, more and more. And to me, you know what that is? To me, that's a confirmation to me. Right. May not be to you, but it's a confirmation to me that God's bringing you from one place to another. If you see something here and then you see more of this, because you're never going to exhaust God. You're never going to come to the place to where you're going to know more than God does.
Right. Oh yeah.
But you can know who God is.
Right.
And remember, the Bible says, and He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. All right. So we got to be diligent about this. So 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1 through 11. Let's pray before we get started. Just remember the ones in prayer. I talked to Sister Rebecca. Brother Gary's going to try to make it this afternoon. He called me Tuesday and had a real good day and was testifying of it. So we just thank God that He said He would heal us. He didn't say He'd do it instantly. Prayers of the saints. We just keep praying, okay? You pray to that one spot, and then you know why? It's like Brother Branham said, though, you could be healed of cancer and die of cancer a month later, but it'd still be God to heal you the first time. Because Satan will never heal you. He wants to destroy you. So don't you remember one thing for sure. If you're ever healed, God did it.
Right.
Does not matter. The Lord Jesus Christ took those stripes for you before you even came on the face of this earth.
Right.
But He knew you'd need it when you got here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, today that You would come among us in a special way. As we always say, please do not be a bystander, Lord, be an active participant. be the one that does the speaking, one that does the hearing, one that does the listening, Father, and may truly we see you, Lord. May we understand that the day and hour that we're living in requires us to be Christians, not superhuman, but Christians, to live a good, honest Christian life and to portray it before others. Father, give us, Lord, our daily bread today. Be with the ones that are not here, the ones that are sick, Father. Just continue to bless them. May your healing anointing go all the way from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, Father. And if be anyone here among us today, Lord, that's sick, Lord, you said that you sent your word and healed them. So as the word goes forth, Father, may you quicken it to their heart. We can't do anything about that. They must accept and let it quicken in their heart that you've already healed them, Father. Lord, we pray for the missionaries on the foreign fields that you'd bless them and give them fruit for their labor. Be with each one today, Lord. Just lift us up in spirit and in mind and body, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained. So there's something you got to get. Something you got to get. God's not going to bring it to you. You got to go get it. All right, remember even John on the Isle of Patmos, and maybe we'll bring some of this together later, but John on the Isle of Patmos, he had to go get that book from the angel.
Right.
All right, he had to go get the book and eat it. The angel didn't just... No, he had... Why? Free moral agency. His free moral agencies went and took the book,
right.
All right, and he ate it. So to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Look at all these adjectives, all these words, multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we've been talking about how to live our life and how to live it godly, right?
Right.
Right? Excuse me. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given. All right? So he's going to give you something. If you diligently seek him, he's going to give you something. All right? Whereby are given unto us exceeding, there's another one, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what? These promises, that's what he's talking about. By these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. That now, not your nature.
Right.
Your nature is not divine.
Right.
There's only one divine nature, and that's the nature of Almighty God.
Right.
Satan does not have a divine nature. Satan has a nature.
Right.
All right? And that nature corrupts you. So you got to turn that around by the new birth.
Amen.
Being partakers of the divine nature,
right.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Glory.
So you've escaped something.
Right.
We can just read this and go home.
Right.
I mean, look at all these blessings. But Peter didn't stop at verse 4.
Right.
He said, and beside this, besides all that verse 1 through 4, all that stuff God's given us, all those things, and besides this, giving all diligence. In other words, there you got to go. You got to go get it again. Add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity,
right.
And that word in the Bible also is love, all right? And that is not, we'll get to it later, but that love has nothing to do with filial love.
Right.
It's not filial love. Filial love is your nature that you're dealing with now.
Right.
Everybody got that? That's filial love. Agape love is that love that no man can understand unless you're at that place.
Right.
Amen? All right. For if these things be in you, not on you, not an anointing, it's got to be in you. And once it's in you, what happens? It becomes you.
Right. Exactly.
Or you become it.
Right.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking the other day, that right there tells you that a Christian will never be barren or unfruitful. Doesn't matter what you go through, doesn't matter what you do, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful if you will let these things work in your life.
Glory.
Because look, he that lacketh these things is blind. Now, not physically blind, but what? Spiritually blind. And cannot see afar off. In other words, what? What is afar off? Revelation.
Right.
You can't see revelation, okay?
Right.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten. So he's forgot something.
Right.
That he was purged from his old sins.
Right.
Wherefore the rather, brethren, he's summing it all up, give diligence to make your calling not your pastors, not your deacons, not your elders, make your calling and election sure.
Right.
For if these things be, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Right.
Amen? You can be seated in the Lord as a blessing of reading the Word. That's a promise. Ye shall never fall. But we want to start now, and we want a background, even with a visitor here. I like the background anyway, because we all need to have this refresh. Remember, 15 times, it's got to be repetition. So you've heard it about 9, so we're halfway there. So you can hear it again. But remember, bring up the first chart for the visitor and for all of us to see that what we're talking about today is not a pyramid religion.
Right.
But the prophet that came in the end time showed us how that it did connect to the building of the pyramid,
right. And
that we had to grow up in God,
right. That
this was more of a mountain than it was a pyramid.
Right.
Okay? The sides, you know, this should be a mountain. Everything was given. Moses was given the Ten Commandments on what? On a mountain.
Man.
All right? All these, Jesus was transfigured on what? A mountain. So we see that God brings people up, not that he had to put him up there, but in symbolics to show me and you, we don't have to go on a mountain to get something. We don't have to go stone mountain and get on top of the mountain and sit there and wait on God. No. He's showing us, though, that what we have to do is, though, we have to come out from down here. This is all normal. This is all the world down here. You've escaped that and come up higher in God. All right, so here is the what Peter was giving us. He was showing us we had to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and the capstone which is love.
Right.
All right, because remember, just in background, remember, we'll not take it off, but remember, Jesus Christ was rejected.
Right.
He was the Jesus Christ, the head of all things, right?
Amen.
All right, so he was rejected when they crucified him on a cross,
right. And
he didn't go away, but he says, I'm going to leave. And he said, they're not going to see me anymore, but you're going to see me.
Right.
How are you going to see me is you're going to grow and have the same virtues that I have.
Right.
Because remember, the Christians in Antioch were called Christians because they were Christ-like.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? You can be religious all the day of your life and die and go to hell.
Right.
The devil's very religious. He's hugely religious,
right. But
the devil can never be a Christian.
Right.
He can't be Christ-like.
Right.
He can get close, but he can't be Christ-like like me and you. There's no way that Satan can have these virtues working like they're working in me and you. See, to me, that's the separation. That separates everything. This teaching of the statue of a perfect man separates these over here from these over here.
Right.
All right? Excuse me. But you have to, before you get into this growth with God, you must be justified by what? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He did die for you, not for your neighbor, not for your brother, but He died for you. You're walking in this direction. All right? May take a little time, but I'm going to background a minute here. You're walking in this direction. You're doing sin. You're smoking. You're drinking. You're cursing. You're running around with women. You have a lustful spirit. Because remember, the Scripture says you have escaped that when you become a Christian. Escape the lust of the world. All right? So you come this way. Now what you do is one day something either like happened to me, you know, God will kind of knock you on the head, knock you down for a minute, and say, look, son, I need you to do something different.
Right.
You know what I done? I got tired of the way I was living.
Right.
I got tired of the way I was living. So I chose to accept what God give me. I chose to accept what God give me. I didn't choose it because my daddy was a preacher. I chose it because I said, God, I'm tired, I'm done. If that's you, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to walk away. So you do a 180. Justification means turn away from your sin and begin to walk. Now, you don't leave that evil spirit right here. You just leave all those past sins right here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Because when you turn, the devil's going with you.
Right.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
He did with me. He actually came a little more closer than he was before. Because remember, you get your sins forgiven and you're justified. You turn and you begin to walk in a different way.
Amen.
Not physically, but even emotionally, spiritually. First thing I've done is come to church. That's the first thing you need to do at justification. You need to start coming to church. Because you know what? At first you were going to bars and you were going to this and your friends loved you because they did this.
Yeah.
All right? Well, see, my friends here at church do this, and that's why I come here.
Right, man.
You can put whatever this is. You know, we act like Christians here. All right? So that's where I want to be. I don't want to be in a bar anymore. I don't want to be smoking with my buddies. I don't want to be, you know, whatever. So I've turned, but that evil spirit is still there, motivating me to do the same thing again. And you know what? I might. Amen? Okay, if you're a smoker. I never was a smoker, but I chewed tobacco. I was chewing tobacco. Well, now, mine was a special case because God knew it'd take a hard time for me to get rid of it. But when I turned and started coming back in this direction, that part of me, now that part, went away.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people didn't. Brother Donnie, you don't mind me using him, Brother Donnie. I believe he went through through the process of justification, and he started walking. You know what? He was walking like this, though. Is that okay? That's fine. Okay. He's walking like this. Right? Now what changed? God didn't remember what he did here.
Right.
That was gone.
Right.
Alright? So God's not going to remember that. You may remember it, and I'll guarantee you, your friends are definitely going to remember it. Because you know what? They're going to walk with you and remind you. But see, that's where you got to, it's still based on faith. You got to believe that God did that.
Right.
And that He can do it.
Amen.
And that He will do it. So you just say, they're gone. All right? My sins are gone. All right? So, but He's still walking. But He's getting convicted every time He does anything like that. He puts one in His mouth and goes, you know, the cigarette starts doing like this.
Yeah.
And then the lighter won't light. Then you go find another one, you know. But you know what? That's God, though, taking you through that step. Okay, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going this way anyway. We got all day. All right? So we come through justification, and we see that God is just. That's why it's called justification. You're not just. God is just. To forgive you, and that puts you on a walk of justification. Then you come up to sanctification, where the unclean spirit goes out of the man.
Right.
He quits. He takes that thing for the last time, and he says, God, I'm tired of this. And he throws it down. He says, I want that out of me. I want that desire gone. Bible says the unclean spirit goes out of a man.
Right.
All right? That's at sanctification. That's cleaned up and set aside for service.
Right.
As we talked about before, justification is God picking up a glass.
Right.
Thanks for reminding me, Lord. I need one of them. I'm picking up a glass that's really dirty. But you know what? You can use it to drink out of.
Right.
But not at this point.
Right.
Right? So what God does, He picks it up. All right, that's justification. He has taken you from one place to another place. And He's going to put you into service. So He's going to what? He's going to clean that out.
Right.
You don't like drinking out of a dirty glass, do you? God don't like using an unclean vessel either. So He cleans that out by what? The fire of sanctification. What? Coming to church, listening to God's word, quit listening to other people's word. All right, start listening to what God says and forget about what. Because you know what? Your friends are going to. You know what? Absolutely, what happened to me, my friends became religious. I said religious, not Christians. They just all came religious. You know, they became religious. So, you know, you have to watch that. And, you know, you still have to watch it. But, you know, you get around people and they start cussing. And then they find out you're a Christian and they start, you know, asking for prayer. And, you know, I prayed for this. You know, okay, whatever. That's up to them and God. You got your own self to worry about. So God cleans that thing out. All right, so He cleans it out and puts it aside for service. He's trying you to make sure that's clean. Right? Alright, and then when He does, He comes in by a new birth, not your first birth from your mom and daddy. That's what got you over there in that part of this all anyway. Alright? Now look, your mom and daddy didn't make you smoke or drink. You did it yourself. Especially in this day and hour, you got to go buy that stuff. And it's expensive. But when you become born again, then God fills that vessel with Himself.
Amen.
All right? And then He puts you in service. But you still gotta have faith, because faith is the new birth, and it's faith, new birth, Holy Ghost, all the same. And it's one person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. He met you here in justification. This is where He met you at. But He don't want to just meet with you. He wants to be in you, and then we can start doing these. Oh, many people can have no temper at all. That don't mean one thing to God.
Right.
Nothing. That don't mean nothing to God that you can control your temper without being provoked or whatever. But remember, what did we say temperance was? Control.
Right.
See, that's where God comes in and shows you something else. He gives you another revelation. Because I was talking to Sister Johnny last Sunday. We never spoke about control downstairs with temperance. We talked about temper. What to do. But remember, it's control.
Right.
It's a controlled faith.
Amen.
Jesus was standing on the bow of the boat. All heck was breaking loose. His disciples were saying, "Why are you sleeping?" And He just said, "Where's your faith? Peace be still."
Right.
He was what? But He was training them, though, to where when He went away and came back as the Holy Ghost, they would be able to do what He did.
Exactly.
Right. Same thing with you and I. But what's happened down through the ages that makes us different than a lot of denominations is that denomination says, well, the new birth is, and puts a slot here. Yes. Says it's shaking a hand with the preacher or whatever.
Yes.
Right? Or the Presbyterian says it's this. Or the Pentecostal says you got to speak in tongues. No. The real definition of the new birth is that you're born again by the Word of God.
Right.
Amen? And you believe and receive the Word of this hour. Okay? Because remember, if we believe and receive the Word of Luther, not good for this day. We can't smoke a pipe and drink a beer. He was a German. That's what they did. But God quickened that justification to him, and that was his new birth. But now we have to move. Remember, I moved. You got to move from that. The Lutherans sat down and said, "This is it." Okay? God moved on. All
right?
God moved on to sanctification, to John Wesley, and then through the Pentecostals brought in the baptism of the Holy Ghost around the turn of the century. And now we've had, in this hour, we believe we've had a prophet come and try to tie all those loose ends together. He took those walls of partition and he moved them out of the way to try to get all denominations to see that you got to have faith in Jesus Christ, not faith in the Baptist, faith in the Methodist, faith in the Pentecostal, faith in the Branhamite.
Right.
Same thing, Branhamite religion. It's not. It's Jesus Christ. That's the basis of everything we're talking about, because this was him. If you'll look in the background, you see his head.
Yeah.
This was, where's that one, Brother Anderson? Can you pull that one up where he's standing in the middle of all that? He can do it. He's going to show you how he can do it. There you go. See that? Jesus Christ is the head of all things. And who are we? We're his body.
Amen.
He has no physical body on this earth except me and you in the spiritual sense. All right? That we are the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We're still a good solid body here.
Right.
All right? We're not spirits floating around. No, we gotta have this teaching of the statue of perfect man to move us from just spirit into flesh.
Right.
Because the Son of Man is the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Well, the Word can stay there all it can and be dead. The Word's not dead, but the effects that we put on it is dead. But if you take that Word out, though, and place it in here, then if you become the Word made flesh, you become, as the prophet said, a walking, breathing foot of God. God don't have a foot down here, except yours. God don't have a hand down here, except yours. All right, so that's why we're teaching this statue of a perfect man, to show us through these virtues that we can live a Christian life and be able to thwart the devil and take him and push him aside and say, "Hey, you know, you don't have anything to do with me. I'm a child of God. Take your greasy hands off of him." Right? That's the authority. Now, to me, that's that knowledge of how to use the faith, temperance and all that. So let's go through real quick. I'm sorry to... That's a little bit of background, though. That's good, though. good that we all refresh ourselves a little bit, you know? You got to know where you come from to know where you're going. All right? So if we come from here, we have a firm foundation. Remember I preached one time on feet? Feet equals redemption. All right? Every time you look at feet, you think of redemption. Well, hey, right here's your redemption process right here. Starts at faith. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and all those things that Paul and Peter talked about. But remember, it's a requirement. And power without character. You can have the power. You remember the seven sons of Sceva. They saw Paul delivering people from demons. Right? Now they said, we want to do that. But they weren't where Paul was.
Right?
But they saw what power Paul had and possessed. And remember, even the sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer, he wanted to buy it. And then he got real serious, but see, down inside, that's where God's looking, and all of us today, down in here is where he knows. He knew that Simon the sorcerer had another motive besides being a Christian, because he wasn't a Christian.
Right.
See, the problem with Simon the sorcerer, he wanted to get way up here first and not start down here.
Right.
He didn't want to start and become a Christian, give his heart to God, and forget all those things that he does, all that witchcraft. No, he wanted to what? Have power over something.
Right.
Same way the seven sons of Sceva. They said, we adjure thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, the devil didn't even bother them a bit. You know why? Because the man was not inside.
Right.
Jesus Christ wasn't inside those seven sons. And the devil turns and says, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you?
Right.
In other words, they were looking for the power without the character. And power without character, if it's used wrong, is satanic.
Right.
All right? So now, and to show us how we get this, is go to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read these every time because it's something that we need to see. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some. This is how. Peter showed us what we needed. Paul showed us how to get it. All right? Because if there's a requirement, if Peter gave us a requirement, which they're required, then God's got to make a way. God is not a kind of person like me or you or anybody else that would give you something so difficult that you couldn't reach it.
Right.
God's not that way. God's got a plan and a purpose. And he put that thing out there and he says, hey, you can get it. I'm going to make the way. Jesus is what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. I'm the way to get in. It's through Jesus Christ. But now remember, Jesus is not here in the body form, right?
Right.
But he does have people that do what he says, all right, or has the mind of God. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of me and you, not just me, me and you, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, all right, till we all come in the unity of the faith.
Right.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's what we're talking about, stature of a perfect man. Unto the measure. Now what's measure? Height, growth, whatever. Excuse me. To the measure of the stature. Not a statue. We're not a statue. Statues don't move. All right? Statures move. It's growth development. Stature of the fullness of Christ. Now let's go to Hebrews 5:14, where Paul's still speaking here. He says, but look. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age.
Right.
So God doesn't want us to stay babies.
Right,
listen, we all got to start as a baby. We all got to start as a baby, but he doesn't want... I love Deanna, 6 years old. I love her the age she is, but it would be horrible for me to say, God, I want her to just stay 6 years old. No, that would be detrimental to who? Her.
Right.
Same way with God. God can't say, well, I like Brother Dick at that age right there. I'm talking about spiritual age. No, that's detrimental to him.
Right.
God doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't put a cap on it, you do. And I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. All right? Excuse me. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of what? Use. Got to use them faith muscles. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What were we talking about in temperance? Temperance is discern. Discern both good and evil. Because remember, we didn't discern good and evil when we were out in the world. Oh, sure, we knew we didn't need to murder somebody. But we still was evil. Because Jesus comes along, he says, hey, you don't have to murder anybody now, you just got to talk against them.
Right.
You don't have to commit adultery with that woman, you can just look at her and lust after her, and you've done the same thing. Because remember, it's the same, that's one word. It's all evil
right.
without God. All right? Now, Hebrews 11, 1, we got down to the foundation. We spent a little time on that. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
But I told you before, you can't take virtue out and show it to somebody, like a book or a pencil, whatever. But you let it work its way out, and you manifest what that is.
Right.
All right, remember God. I never forget this. God does it. He reveals it. Then he has to make it manifest.
Right.
All right, because this is a secret.
Right.
But manifesting it is bringing it out in the open.
Right.
All right, the evidence of things not seen. So now we talked last. Let's put the foundation chart up there, like we were looking at a couple Sundays ago, and we were talking about just a minute ago: justification, sanctification, and you must have faith. Add to your faith, right? Add to your faith. When you become born again, that becomes your new birth, not somebody else's. So it's mine. Okay, it's mine.
Right.
It's my faith now. And God, you know what? God don't want it back.
Right.
Brother Richard, God don't want it back. He's not an Indian giver. He don't give you, or he won't give you a bunch of virtue and then say, no, God knows what you can handle before you even got here.
Right.
You just don't know it yet. Right. All right? And that's the journey that we have to take. Somebody asked Brother Branham one time, said, Brother Branham, said, why do you preach if all this is set and done and settled? Well, they weren't understanding what predestination and foreknowledge was. They were just looking at it as, well, if they're going to be, you know, a preacher called me the other day and said he had a brother that come there and said, well, if they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved. It doesn't matter what you do. God knows that.
Yeah.
But you and that person don't have a clue.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So let's don't pick them out. Let God pick them out.
Amen.
You know, present the gospel to them. And you know, like I said, Brother Branham says, you know, you'll see the predestination's off. But it's because of what that person decided.
Right.
You don't decide for them. We've done it all before.
Right.
We've wrote them off.
Right.
Haven't we?
Right.
Well, let God do that.
Right.
You just present, you know what? The life lived is going to show them whether you got it or not.
Right.
And whether they want it because of that thing called virtue.
Right.
Amen? All right. So we have justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, puts us into the body, gives us faith.
Right.
And then it becomes your faith. And you've got to believe that God can finish it, because remember, the prophet of God said, faith alone will not do it. Now that's pretty outstanding. Because he based his whole message, all 1,100 sermons, the first message he preached was faith, the substance of things hoped for.
Right.
He based everything on faith, and then he comes to the statue of perfect man and says, faith alone won't do it.
Right. Right.
Won't do what? Won't make you up here.
Right.
Faith alone will get you in the body.
Right.
You can be a good Christian, sit in a pew, but we're going to do your funeral one day.
Right.
But he's made a way to escape that. All right, let's go to quote number one. This is one I always like that we're gonna read every time because it really refreshes. I want to throw it all back on us. And you know what? He's not talking to you. He's talking to us. Us. All of us. Statue of Perfect Man, 1962. Notice, you must be born again. That's what we've been talking about. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. All right? You got to have a belief system.
Right.
You got to have a way to believe that God's already done it. He doesn't have to come back and do it. He's already done it.
Right.
So it's laying there waiting on you to just get it.
Yeah.
That's right. So you see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. Scroll it up. On up, and we'll just read the blue to save time. You're possessed of one, because that's either faith or doubt. You've either got faith or doubt in your soul. See, now you can have faith and doubt in here. Don't get me wrong. Every day because remember, you got to have knowledge to discern what's right and wrong.
Right.
All right? But inside you is either right or wrong. That man that motivates you down in that control tower, he's either faith or doubt, not both. All right? That's the soul of man. All right? That's why you're very special to God, because you're the only one that's got a soul that's close to Him.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? You got a soul. God's a soul. You got a soul, but the dogs and the animals, they don't have a soul. So you are special to God. But see, remember, they can't make a choice. That soul in there gives you that choice between faith or doubt. All right, you're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have is how high you can rise. All right, so he's putting it back on each one of us. That ever have high you know, well, I can't get rid of my temper. You know what you're saying? I don't want to get rid of it. You like that thing. You pet that devil. Isn't that what Brother Branham said about that woman?
Right.
At the dance hall? Remember, he cast the demon out of her. She walks by. Said she petted that devil and went into that back in that dance hall, and he came right back on her. Why? Because there was a part of her that still wanted that part of that life. And you can't have that. First, you got to have faith, and then he's talking about staying on that foundation. But we must have a belief or a conviction. We must be convinced that this is what it is. Christianity is the only way for us out of here. There's no secondary. There's no third. There's no fourth choice. One choice. All right? That's either faith or doubt. You're either going to believe or you're not going to believe. All right? So let's go to virtue now. We talked about virtue. Now we're going to talk about, as we were talking about, virtue, faith. All right, let's go to the chart. Because remember, you never leave that foundation. Stay on that foundation. You must stay right here, and then as you grow in God, God gives you virtue faith. And that's a faith that somebody else can pull from. All right? Because remember, faith alone won't do it. Faith alone will help you. But aren't we here to help others? All right, so we must have virtue faith, or strength, or what they said, you know, we were talking about the word dunamis. The word dunamis is power, strength. And Jesus said in Mark 5, verse 30, let's go to that one. We'll hurry right through these because we've already been through them before. But I just wanted you to kind of refresh your memory. Strength. Strong faith. All right, Mark 5, verse 30. Did I not put it in there? Got it? Okay, that's virtue. Look, let's look at the definition. Strength or power or ability. Inherent power.
Right.
In other words, you don't have it, you inherited it.
Right?
Right. You must develop this. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. Power for performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of soul. So we just don't have faith anymore to believe. We have a virtue faith or a strong faith that that we can. Like we said many times before, if somebody writes you a check and it bounces, we bounce one in our life that early on, and we don't, you know, we just don't do that because morally it's not right. Because it says right here, it says moral power. All right, you got to have some control there. But the virtue, what if we kept going to a place and they kept writing me a bad check? I'm not going to do any business with them anymore. I'm not. One time and that's it. But you know what? God's the same way. What if Brother Donnie comes to me and says, pray for me? But then I pray for him and I go out and he sees me out there at the bar with a drink in my hand and a cigarette. Now, how much virtue can he bring from that? You know what it does? It puts a doubt in his mind. I'm picking on you today. You're just tall and just your head sticks up further than bigger than anybody else's. So. It's really white looking so I can see it. But really, I mean, is that truth? How can you draw virtue from that? How can you draw virtue from Brother Dale if he comes up here and preaches and then he says, well, I'll see y'all this afternoon, and then we get here at 2 o'clock and we have a song service and we call the preacher out. And it's a word, Brother Dale. Well, he decided to go down to Bass Pro and look around a little bit. Now, how much virtue would you draw from that?
Right.
Zero. Same way with our life. To me, when you got faith, When you come up to virtue, that's a strength that others can draw from. You're the only one that knows whether you got it or not. Okay? But others should be able to see that you have it and then want more. Remember we were talking about the foolish virgin. Why does the foolish virgin come to the wise virgin? Because they got something that the foolish virgin doesn't have, and there's a drawing effect or a power. They have enough faith, till they know you got it, so they're going to come and get it from you. Why would they go get it from somebody that didn't have it? All right, same way. That's what virtue is. Virtue is a faith or a strength, a strong faith. Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, this was the woman that touched him, that had the blood issue. All she done is when he walked by, she just touched the hem of his garment. And strength went from him, and virtue had to be in it to go out. But what she drew from that virtue, and she said, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I could but touch, I'll be made whole." So she was confessing what she done before she did it. Then when it happened, then she drew virtue or strength from that opportunity. Same way with you and I. Same way, that's why we lay hands on the sick. That's why you see Brother Dale sometimes. He'll just kind of pat you on the back, or if your back's hurting or something, he'll pat you right here. Or, you know, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
It's happened many times before.
Right?
Where you don't even have to pray for them. You're praying inside yourself.
Right.
Well, what is that? That's a virtue strength. That's a strength that you have that you can give to others. And you know what? They can draw from that.
Right.
That's the same way with all of us drawing together. All right, so let's go to Acts 1, verse 2. Now this word, "But ye shall receive power." Now that word power is converted to dunamis, which is converted to virtue.
Right.
"But you shall receive virtue after." See what that is now?
Right. Yep.
You got to get the Holy Ghost first.
Right.
After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Isn't that good, Brother Bob? Old Bobby's smiling. I like that. "But you shall receive virtue," because that power is dunamis, which dunamis is virtue.
Right.
Same thing. When the virtue left Jesus, that word virtue and that word power means the same thing in the Greek. All right. "But you shall receive virtue after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses."
Right.
So somebody's going to know that. All right?
Right?
So let's go to the second quote. Statue of a perfect man. He's talking about the book of Luke. Virtue went out of him. Now, to be like Jesus, well, I'm going to be like Jesus. I've got to have virtue and a path that it can pass forward from me to the people.
Right.
All right? That's the whole deal with all these virtues. Sure, you can have enough for yourself, but God doesn't want you to keep them. He wants you to give them to somebody else.
Right.
That's why Brother Dale studies all the time. What he does, he gets the knowledge of God. Paul said we have the mind of Christ. Somebody has to get it first. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Has to get it first. And then what God does, God passes it down through that person to you. Well, now here you got, 85 or so, 90 people sitting here. From one person should be flowing to where each one of you should get something from God. You're not going to all get the same thing.
Right.
But it's a pass, and Brother Branham, he was the trumpet. He was the one that sounded the message.
Right.
Then we take that message and we sound it to the people.
Right.
All right? But it can't be different. Remember uncertain sound? You can't have an uncertain sound.
Right.
All right? You can't be tooting retreat when you should be charging.
Right.
Big mess up there somewhere. All right, so what you got to do though is you got to have the next one, which is knowledge. All right, let's go to knowledge because that's the discernment part. You got to discern good from bad. All
right,
let's go to the next one, which is knowledge, and it's knowledge faith on the chart. All right, but we're going to define it. Knowledge signifies in general intelligence, understanding, not just smarts up here. All
right,
that smart's got to come down through the filter. Amen? You can have it up here. We've listened to many false doctrines. Once we drop it through that filter, though, we discern whether it's right or wrong. Because sometimes you'll hear it up here and you think, man, that sounds good. But run it through the filter. And you'll see that there's a little something off there. The general knowledge of Christian religion, the deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of this religion, such as belongs to the more advanced. What Paul says, he said, let's don't be babies, let's grow up.
Right.
All right? such as belongs to the more advanced, especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. Moral wisdom, such as seen in right living. All right, so that word there was what? Discernment. We looked at that discernment, and it's required of a Christian. It's required every day that you discern. Every day you must discern good and evil, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And hey, listen, we get trapped in Satan's trap. We're not immune, right? We get trapped, but you know what? There's an advocate there that stands up and says, I've already took that. I've already took all that and I put it behind me. I can't remember it. That's why, Brother Dale was talking about God with amnesia. What about something and I did it the other day. Something came to my mind and I thought, well, Lord, I just shouldn't have never. Forgive me. That was back when I was a sinner. And I'm sure he's sitting up there going, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You know the song. What are you talking about? My sins? What are you talking about? Listen, you should never ask forgiveness for those things you already asked forgiveness for. Right? Because you know what you're doing? Satan's bringing it right back. And the best thing to do is not say, forgive me, Lord. Why? He's already forgive you if you've already asked. Now, if you hadn't, he may be bringing something. That may be God bringing something to you. But if Satan keeps bringing this junk to you, you just keep pushing it off. You say, God, you know I didn't do that. But see, that's knowledge, to discern. Man, this thing right here, it's the devil's playground. But it's also the only way God can get to you. Amen? So you got to use that filter of knowledge, faith. And faith is what? Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. I like that word insight. It's not just regular sight, it's insight. Something you got to look into. Let's look at the quote here, number 4. Skip 3, just go to 4. We'll save some time here. We're not going to get to all this. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, Church Age book. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. See, that's what man's done. Man's put their ordinary ideas to it and said, Matthew 28:19, now Jesus said, I'm going to take what Jesus said. Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, now Peter comes up on the day of Pentecost. He's got the keys to the kingdom. Jesus told him himself. Now, how confused could Jesus be if he told Peter, he said, Peter, whatever you say down here, I'll say up there. Whatever you close up there, I'll close down here. And then Peter comes up on the day of Pentecost and said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38. Now, Jesus is not that confused. God's not that confused. That was God in human flesh. So he don't make mistakes. But what did he do? He hid it from the people. He said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. So we had to have some spiritual insight to see that that's exactly what Jesus was saying on paper. But when Peter comes up on the day of Pentecost, Jesus is not up in heaven going, no, Peter, no. Stop, Peter, stop. Don't say that. No, when he clicks that, when he says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he turned that key and Jesus said, that's it. That's my boy. He knew what I was talking about. Because I said name. And Father's not a name, Son's not a name. But you know what? Lord Jesus Christ is a name. All right, so Peter picks that up and Peter says, this is the way it is. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of your sins, and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book. Now, what's he talking about? The Bible. This book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people.
Right.
It will take one with prophetic insight or knowledge faith.
Right.
All right? It will require the ability to hear from God. Got to have a channel there. How are you going to hear from God? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Amen? All right. Can't do away with those five offices where this comes down through. It will require the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction. Not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good. And it's good to compare verse to verse. But if you compare Matthew 28:19 with Acts 2:38, you're looking on paper at a controversy. I said on a paper at a controversy. Right? But it's not. Peter's saying exactly what Jesus said.
Right?
Same thing. Because what is the name of the Father? The Lord. Son is Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the Christ that was back 2,000 years, I mean, that was back before the world.
Right.
Same man. Amen?
Right.
It will require supernatural. You see how that little doctrine of Father, Son, Holy Ghost has swerved everybody over to the side, and here's God over here going, wait a minute, I never said that. Listen to what Peter said. Peter's my apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. This is how you're going to get it. You need to listen to Peter. It will require the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear how we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and what? No. What's the first four letters of knowledge? No. All
right.
So you got to have knowledge. Our knowledge, faith. All right. So the next one now is temperance. We're stacking them right on top of each other. Got to have virtue. Got to have knowledge. Now we got to have what? Temperance faith. Not just regular faith. It's going to be temperance faith. All right. Which is what? It's a controlled faith.
Right.
All right. Right. Bless my soul with self-control, Brother Branham was singing there on Statue of Perfect Man. But remember, a controlled faith is like Jesus with all the demons. Now listen, the demon didn't, I mean, when Jesus walked up to the man called Legion, which Legion is, what, thousands?
Right.
All right. So he had that many demons in him.
Right.
That's a lot.
Right.
But Jesus saw a man and had compassion on a man. But now what happened was, the first thing, what did those demons do? They recognized who that was. Why, thou Son of God, why do you come and deal with us, in other words, before our time? They knew more than the religious people of the world knew. The Pharisees and Sadducees called him a devil. The devil called him God. You know why? Because it was a spirit fighting a spirit.
Right.
It was a spiritual warfare going on. Because Legion probably looked at the man and didn't say anything. The demon spoke out of him and said, why have you, thou Son of God, so they identified who he was, thou Son of God, why did you come before your time, before our time, in other words, judgment, to deal with us? And you know what? Jesus didn't bicker back and forth with them. He wasn't like the seven sons of Sceva. He wasn't worried about them coming back on him. Because they honored who he was. Thou Son of God. So they put him in his position. But he put them in their position. You know what? He didn't go over there and scream and slap him around. They said, can we leave? I like a demon when he asks something. Can we leave? And he said, go. Resist the devil and he will what? Walk away from you? He said, flee from you. Boy, that's a powerful little statement there. We just don't use it enough. Everybody all right? But Jesus with the demons, and then remember the storm? There was that controlled faith. That was faith where Jesus didn't look at the circumstances, because remember, Jesus walking on the water, he wasn't worried about sinking. But when Peter lost sight, and I saw one of those things the other day too, and I want to go up there to that bumper sticker and put Peter did. You know, though, some bumper sticker that says Jesus walked on water. You know, how about you? Or you know, he's the only one that walked on water. You think you're perfect? Jesus is the only one that walked on water. No, he didn't. Peter got out of the boat, got into the water, and did not sink. But Peter didn't have a substance faith at that time. Right? He was drawing virtue off of God, or Jesus Christ, right? So he was looking, but Brother Brown said when he looked at the circumstances. In other words, what Peter done is what we should do all the time, is don't deal with the circumstances, just say, okay, God, you said so. No, what he done is he said, okay, God, you said so. I'm not supposed to do this. And you know what? What happened? He sank. But remember, Jesus brought him back out. But Jesus had a controlled faith. And that's what we all should look for, is a controlled faith. And not just... And really, we... You know, Brother Branham never said... I can't read where he said, get rid of your temper. He says control your ungodly temper.
Right.
All right? Because listen, we get frustrated a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
Once in a while. Once in the morning, a while in the afternoon. But remember, in the world, our frustrations would lead to anger.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah. Right.
Our frustrations would lead to anger.
Yeah.
But now we can be frustrated about different things, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's the humanity part of us, all right? But you don't let, because remember, if you have controlled faith, that controlled faith comes up and says, that's enough.
Yeah.
Stop right here.
Right.
Don't do that anymore.
Right.
You know you shouldn't do that. You know you shouldn't be thinking about that person that run you off the road, Sister Johnny. She's from New York. She gets a free pass with traffic problems. Geez, I couldn't live up there either. It worked my temperance and patience and knowledge and all that stuff to have to deal with that traffic. But no, we don't ever get a free pass. We got to go through it to see that God's give it to us. We cannot sit at home and get these virtues and it be a flowery bed of ease. This is not forks and spoons. This is knives, guns, shields, armor, whatever you got. You know what? If Satan, Brother Brown says Satan's going to turn every gun on you. Right?
Right.
Now God's not going to let him kill you.
Right.
So he's going to give you something to protect when he does turn. He's going to give you something. But you know what? You got to believe that you already got it,
right.
Not that you got to go get it.
Right.
This is development, brothers and sisters. This is development. We're not going to get it overnight. We've got to develop into these things.
Right.
But that temperance faith, to me, is sure it's controlling your ungodly temper, Brother Brown says in the blasphemous name. But he also said control. It's a controlled faith where you're... That's what Brother Billy Paul, he was so amazed with Brother Branham when he stood in the audience of several thousand people. He said, I take every spirit in here under my what? Control. He had temperance faith. He had that control where he could control everything that was going on. But you know what? It come from God Almighty that was in him.
Right?
Amen? So there's your controlled faith. And that's the same thing with you and I. Like I told you about what happened to the prophet? He walks into the house and his wife's crying and his kids are fighting and all, you know, all heck's breaking loose. And first thing he does, he puts on an apron.
Right.
Puts on a Holy Ghost apron.
Yeah.
And he walks in there and says, honey, and he says, I'm praying for her the whole time. He's rubbing her back, you know, and said, how about that dress? You know, he's not quoting her scripture. Now, bless God, sister, you're supposed to be. No, he said, you remember that dress that I was looking at?
Yeah.
Let's go look at it. She says, we ain't got time to go look at that dress. He said, about 10 minutes later, she's wanting to go look at the dress. Well, I've told y'all many times, if you want to be close to your wife, you ain't got to go buy her no sexy outfit. Get you a washcloth, get you a spray bottle with Windex, a broom and a mop. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Won't cost you a dime, just maybe a little bit of sweat. A little bit of sweat. Sometimes we need that. But let's look at what Brother Ram said about quote number 5. We may have to do godliness and brotherly kindness this afternoon, if that's all right. Because look, temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. No, no, temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure. Because see, like I've always said before, when you come in here and you become a Christian, it's not rehab. No, it's not rehab. It's release. It's not rehab because I know people that are in Alcoholics Anonymous. They just suppress that demon. They have no way to get it out. You can't talk. Remember Brother Branham? You can't talk to them demons. You especially can't talk to them if the guy that's talking to them's got a demon. So they're just talking back and forth. But if you take and come here, though, we believe in deliverance,
right,
which is not that temperance.
Right.
See, Brother Brown, many people would probably say, well, he looks at temperance as quitting drinking and all those things. But no, look, that's just one of the lusts of the flesh.
Right.
So he's not dealing with the flesh guy. If you ever get the soul of the man changed,
right. Amen.
You don't have to worry about him.
That's
drinking and smoking. Because remember, that all is supposed to go out of sanctification. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh. But we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue, not be a tattler, how to control your temper, not fall off every time anybody speaks cross to you. And then we went on and developed a little bit more. We won't read the other ones. Let's go now. Last week we were talking about patience. So let's talk about patience, because patience and temperance to me goes together real close. All right? You gotta first have temperance though, because remember, tribulation worketh patience. So listen, to try your patience, you're going to have all these and rely on them to have this. Okay? You're going to have these to rely on. You got to rely on these, because Brother Bram said you can't skip one. So they got to come up the way they are. You can't skip one. If you do, this whole thing crumbles, and he said it all falls down.
Right.
Same way with building a 5-story building. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can't start on ground floor and then build. Your plan's next is let's build level 2 before we build level 1. No way you can do that. All right. Same way with God.
Right.
Look how these stack on top of each other. You got to have virtue, faith. You got to have strength. You got to have knowledge to know good and evil, or good or bad, or whichever.
Right.
Temperance, faith. You must have temperance to control the faith that you have. All right, and control all these other things that you have that come against you. Because we're not dealing with the soul of man here, except down here. By either faith or doubt, right? All right? We're dealing with the second realm, the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. That's where all this right here works in. Okay? Because you do have the patience of God. You do have a part of patience when you receive the new birth. But God doesn't want... Remember, Brother Bram said faith alone doesn't do it. What? Foundation faith alone doesn't do it. You got to have a patience faith.
Right.
All right? Now, what do you say about patience faith? Look at Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. The word patience means steadfastness, constancy. Not all this up and down stuff. Alright? Endurance. Paul said, we're going to run this race and we're going to finish it. Alright? In the New Testament, the characteristics of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings, patiently and steadfastly, a patient, steadfast, waiting for, a patient, enduring, sustaining, perseverance. So we brought out that word last Sunday, if you'll remember, enduring. So you must have that patience faith or an enduring faith that you don't just lay it on the shelf on Sunday and pick it back up on Saturday evening. Well, I got patience when I'm around the people that, well, they ain't going to give you patience. It's when you have to deal with all them kooks. Easy around here. That's why I said here it's easy to live like a Christian. When you get into the dome of the Spirit of God, and you know that this building's been dedicated to God, and we know the Word's been preached, and it's being heard, and it's being taught, and it's been, everything's correct in the way it should go. Sure. Easy to have patience.
Right.
Easy to have virtue. Easy to have, yeah, it really it is.
Right.
But Monday morning, when your feet hit the floor, are you still going to have that same patience, faith as you had? Well, if you're enduring, you will. But you know what? You're not going to be enduring if Monday you get up and you go and you see a white dove fly through your bedroom. And your kids do everything you tell them to do. And there's zero traffic on the road going to work. And when you get to work, your boss says, I'm giving you a $10,000 raise. You know what's going to happen at that time? The alarm clock's going to go off and you're going to wake up. Right? Or your wife's going to go, hey, wake up, you're mumbling stupid stuff. Will you wake up? And then reality strikes. We laugh a little bit. God give us a provision to get through that, though. He give us our backpack. Our provision is full of things to get through that. What you and I have to do is we have to reach back there and use what we got Sunday and Wednesday and the times we're praying and the times we're studying. We got to reach and get that sword and be able to use it. And that's why I want us to see that scripture says there in Peter, it says exercise. You got to exercise your faith. But Hebrews. You got to exercise your faith. It's got to be exercised. All right? Exercise is good for you. Especially your faith. And how are you going to exercise your faith without going through something? Right? Amen? I mean, sometimes you say, Lord, are you just pouring it on me today? No, there's somebody else getting it just like you. But you know what? Some of us are a little more stubborn than others. So we have to go through them several times. Romans 5, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's what we were talking about at the beginning. Justified by what? Faith. You got to believe. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. So there's the access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in... We what? Wait a minute. You missed that part. We what?
Glory
in tribulation also. This is good. But this is better. Knowing. See, there you go. Go back. You got to have what? You got to have knowing. That ain't just knowing physically. That's knowing. That's that anchor down in here. All right? Without it, we go wild. But when we got that anchor, knowing that God told us this, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So it builds all on patience. All right, let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, not before, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive what? The promise.
Amen?
The promise is a body change, right, if you'll understand it in that way. Now you can say that receive the promise is eternal life. That's okay. But you got to have eternal life before you have a body change. Right? So we got to have these things lined up. Now in James verse 1, my brethren, count it all. Everybody say that word.
Joy.
When you fall, now that don't mean fall. That don't mean backslide.
Right.
But when you fall into many temptations,
right,
knowing this, there you go back to knowledge again, knowing this, that the trying of God's faith worketh. Oh, what does that say? Yours. You haven't left the your faith yet, have you? You got to still have your faith to come all the way up here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What a promise. Now, what did Brother Brown say? Well, let's go to quote number 9. Wow. Sorry it takes so long, but we'll just do godliness and brotherly kindness this afternoon. All right, look. The Holy Spirit will make every movement like Christ, what it takes to make a Christian life. It'll make you Christ-like. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, and faith. These things are what the Holy Spirit controls our emotions. And that's right. Remember, that's the filter. That's the memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. That's emotion. All right? Because remember, and I don't know that we got it here, but remember when Jesus, maybe we do, remember when Jesus sat down and read the scrolls, the greatest anointing?
Right.
Okay? It was not emotional.
Right.
But it came from the very emotion of God.
Right.
When he spoke, point, it says precious words came from his lips. Our emotions is not so much as jumping up and down. You could do that. A shindig will bring that to you. Remember we tried to explain what a shindig is? A hoedown or a hee-haw or whatever that is. But look, it doesn't take that. A shindig will bring that to you. That's why you see the people out in the world get emotional. Satan's emotional. Satan's an emotional person. He loves music. He was Brother Brown, he was God's song leader there before time. I mean, he's very emotional. And if all they do in the world is when they go to these concerts and, pitch a fit, What is that? It's an emotion that they're doing, but it's an emotion toward Satan, not emotion toward God. All right? God doesn't need all that buildup to get his emotion out. Right? All right? That's what Pentecost done. He got everybody emotional, but Brother Brown said, you better be able, when you fall and walk out the door, in other words, on Monday morning, you better be able to walk the same way you did when you was jumping up and down shouting in the church. Like I said, it's easy to shout here. What about Monday afternoon? Is it easy to shout Monday afternoon? Just at your children and your wife. That you walk in peace and love and joy with long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, you see. It isn't something that you do. It's something the Holy Spirit does in you. Because like I said, this is not Alcoholics Anonymous. This is not mind over matter. Okay? You see, it's no longer an intellectual thought of your own. It's a subconscious moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I wish I could shout the praises of God around the world to that. Many times I've told you before, I was on the phone, not saying anything about where I was, but I know where God took me to, is talking to a friend of mine, and, you know, I used to use that word A-double-S a lot. I wasn't talking about a donkey either. And I was talking on the phone, and I was going to say that word was in my brain. This was just, you know, young Christian. But I didn't say those words anymore. But it was coming out. And it felt like somebody took... Have you ever been hit right here in the sternum? You know, people, you play football, you've been hit right here, what knocks the breath out of you, right? Well, something just... I was on the phone driving down through there, and I was talking to him, and I said, well, he was just a something, and I was going to say that word, and it just went... Something went... It just like somebody punched me, right? Just, you know, didn't hurt me, really. Just punched, and the air went out of my lungs, and he said, what was that? I said, well, I was going to say that word I used to say a lot, and I said, Lord wouldn't let me say it no more. So I knew then that part of me was over. I didn't have to worry about, you know, that word slipping out or anything like that. You got to, I mean, you know what? God will give you that to show you whether you have or haven't. Because if I hadn't, I'd have had to took that over again. That would have been a do-over, another class I'd have had to took. Right? Because if you're a child of God, you're going to have to come to these things. Amen? All right? He don't just leave you hanging and say, well, forget him. No, he's still the schoolmaster until he becomes the tutor. And then the tutor is the one that teaches you, right? All right, let's go to the next one. Let's read these and then we'll stop right here. What did he say the first thing? Patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing is have patience with God.
Right.
If you've got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it. Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:38. I believe that's what God said.
Amen.
God said to be baptized in His name, so I'm going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
According to Scripture. All right? So I believe that. I don't just believe it. I know that's what it is. Because you come to a belief, and like I said before, I believe that Hannah's coming, my daughter. I believe she's coming, but I've got to see her as she's here. Now, if she's sitting on the front row praising God, living a good Christian life, I don't have to have faith for that.
Right.
It's happened. I got to have for faith for something I can't see.
Right.
Amen? Because if you can see it, it's already happened.
Right.
Does it, reveals it, makes it manifest. All right?
Right.
He's in that process all the way through. So same way with your children. You say, well, what about? God's had patience with you for how many years?
Right.
One more time. God has patience with you for how many years?
Amen.
And you know what? When you get to glory, He's not going to ask you why it took you so long to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Nope. He's not going to ask you that. When God says anything, you believe it, that's all. You got patience.
Right.
Well, I asked Him last night to heal me, and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh my, what patience. God told Abraham, and 25 years later, there wasn't even one sign. Actually, it was worse.
Right.
He was still believing. He was patient with God. Put Him always before you. Let Him be the next crossing thing. You understand what that means? He said, put God out here. And when you come to that, put God right here.
Right.
And when you come to that crossing thing, you put God right here. You keep putting God out in front of you, knowing that He's going to do it. All right? So let's look at the next one. Number 11. But look, people, there's no way to have patience but by trials.
Right.
All right?
Right?
To have godly patience, you got to have trials. All right? Same statue of perfect man. And we should have patience with one another. All right, we get so much impatient with one another. We think we got to be like Moses. Moses had patience with the people. Look, that's what caused them not to go over. Remember, Moses got emotional.
Right.
He didn't do what God said. Right?
Right.
He smote the rock instead of speaking to the rock.
Right.
You know why? Because he got mad at them people that was behind him. Right? But he didn't have the Holy Ghost to control that. Like you and I have the Holy Ghost to control that, right? Same way with Elijah or Elisha. Elisha would have never called those she-bears onto those children if he would have had these virtues in his life, all right? But God was anointing him at the time to be a prophet in the Old Testament, and that control tower had not went down in the inside yet. Everybody understand that? Okay? That's why the ones in the Old Testament can do things that we see that seems like it was wrong, and it is wrong. But God was showing them for examples, like David having his best friend killed. Well, now, if you do that now, you're going to hell if you don't repent. But David had a repentant heart, but he didn't have the new birth. That new birth would have changed that man. He would have never looked at Bathsheba the way he looked at her if he had had a new birth. He would have turned his head away from it. He would have loved Uriah, and everything would have been fine. But for examples... For an example, it's what the Bible gives us for in the Old Testament. Give us examples. These examples are for us to live by. All right? So we know that David was anointed by God, but when the anointing came off David, he was just a normal human man, just like the rest of us. Had desires and things like that, so that caused him to do what he did. But these are to control us now because we're required to come to a body change. But we're first required to come to adoption.
Right.
All right? To become in the line of adoption, first you got to get in the family. All right, that's down at the bottom. Get in the family. All right, now once in the family, God can raise you up with what faith you have.
Right.
What he said, with what faith you have. All right, and with the faith that you have, he will honor that faith. Because look, to me, this is faith, and this is the apex of faith.
Right.
So you don't lose. This is the apex of faith. You are so believing all this is already in your life till God comes down and honors that. We'll get into that, you know, a couple of services from now on the adoption of the headstone. But we should have patience with one another. Let me finish real quick. See that each member of the tabernacle become this. I've tried to get this message over at the tabernacle to see that each member of the tabernacle becomes this. It's hard to do. I've tried to have patience. In other words, for 33 years he's been trying to preach that sermon.
Right.
For 33 years, he'd been trying to preach that sermon to the tabernacle to get them in place. But he said, see, have patience.
Right.
Women still bob their hair, still just the same, but just have patience. Just have patience, wait, have to. If you ain't got it, don't try to build on this down here. You must have patience. And like I said, there's no way to have patience. No way to have patience but by trials.
Right.
All right, let's stop right there and we'll... Well, let's read this one. I like this one too. Let's read it and then we'll, everybody, let's stand. Musicians come. When you've done all you can do to stand, then stand.
Right.
See, just stand. How am I going to do it? Stand.
Right.
He said it's the truth and it's the truth.
Glory.
He said it'll happen. But now Brother Jones or so-and-so say it didn't. No, you just keep going. He said it'll happen. How? I don't know. But it will happen. He said so. He promised it. If he promised it, it's going to happen. That's all. It can't waste. You see that word said it can't waste? You know what that means? God doesn't have wasteful movement. You and I have wasteful movement. We'll have one thought about building a house over here, and 10 minutes later, we'll change it. We'll have a thought about putting this over here. 10 minutes later, we'll change it. Now, God thought of this before the foundation of the world. And he ain't going to change it.
Glory.
You can go ahead and do that. Let's sing a song. Then, Lord bless you. We'll be into godliness and brotherly kindness this afternoon. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. It's what should have happened. I'm not sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I'm not sorry about that. But you love the Lord. Let's sing a song.
88 in
the spiral book.
I anchor my
soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas alone. The tempest may sweep.
soul in sad exile was out on life's sea. So burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice say, make me your choice, and I entered the
Christ, we ask to touch our brother's body.
Thank you, Lord.
That they'll not have to do anything to it, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
And that you'll make him completely whole, Father. We believe with our brother in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Believe it, man. Just believe it.
Like Zion,
I got you.
The beloved and the blessed. Oh, Jesus, strong Lord, where no tempest can harm, secure in the haven of rest. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest, and I sail the wild seas no more. Though the
listen, if we can't put our faith in what we believe, we need to go find us another place to believe. We need to believe that God's here to do what he said he'd do. But the only way to have this rest is to have that Holy Ghost in that soul. Let's sing it to him. I've anchored my soul in the haven of Jesus, I'm saved evermore. Sing a chorus again as you're dismissed. Be back at 2 o'clock. I have anchored my soul.